So this morning, I'm going to introduce our seven-week sermon series that is titled Don't Give Up, which is also the title of the book that many of you are going to be studying in your small groups. And speaking of that, Lynn mentioned it, there's a few groups out there that don't have a lot of names on it, and those are some of our new leaders that want to host small groups. So I encourage you to get involved in a small group, and it would be disappointing if some of our new leaders didn't have a group to start. So I encourage you to check those out in the lobby and sign up for a small group. It'll be 6 or 7 weeks, and it may continue after that if they want to. Now, our goal as pastors, Bishop Hill, Pastor Dale, and I, is to not simply copy and paste the author's information into our messages. We want to provide other information and additional insight as well, because many of you will not be reading the book. We want this sermon series to stand independently on its own, but we also want to support the main purpose of the book. The main purpose of our series and this book is to strengthen our faith in God. It's to show how that faith can give us the confidence to keep believing and the courage to keep going. In other words, we want to develop a faith in God that gives us the power to say, don't give up, no matter what we are going through in life. So over the next 7 weeks, we are going to answer some questions regarding that faith. One question we are going to ask is why? Why do we persevere? Why do we keep believing? Why do we keep going? The other question we're going to answer is how? How do we not give up? Are there practical things we can do to help us persevere? Are there examples from the past of people we can look to for inspiration? We hope to answer all those questions. But today, I want to start by looking at the scripture passage that was the inspiration for this book and for this series. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It's basically the summary of all the topics that we are going to cover in this series. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, so that you will not give up. Okay, let's start with verse 1 and the word therefore. When you see this word, it means that there was important information given beforehand that led to the information that is about to be presented. In this case, the information beforehand was Hebrews chapter 11. Many of people call this the Hall of Faith, because this is a list of people from the Old Testament who exemplified faithfulness in God. This is a list of people who showed us what it looks like to not give up. Hebrews 11 answers the question, are there people from the past we can look to for inspiration? The answer is yes. It includes people like Abraham, Joseph, Jacob, and Moses. Now, I'm not going to get into detail about this because I don't want to steal Bishop Bruce Hill's thunder. He will be here the next 2 weeks, and I'm guessing that he is going to mention one or two of these men. Now, what I do want to focus on is the phrase cloud of witnesses. The people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 are part of this cloud of witnesses. What does this word witness mean? Does it mean that Abraham, Moses, and our great grandmothers are watching over us and protecting us while we are still alive? Well, this is a popular belief, that our dead loved ones are in some way looking down on us from heaven. This sounds comforting, But the Bible, God's word, is not totally clear about this. There are legitimate arguments on both sides. However, since none of us in here have been to heaven, let's see what the author means by this word witnesses. We're going to look at the words in their original forms. We're going to do a lot of Greek study today. First, the word cloud comes from the Greek word nephos, which literally translates to cloud. The second word witness comes from the Greek word martis, which is also the root word for martyr. It means witness, testimony, or martyr, someone who died because of the witness of their faith. In legal terms, what does a witness do? A witness testifies about something they have seen or experienced. They have a testimony to share with the court, which is considered evidence for the case. Think of a cloud. It's not just one water molecule. If it were one molecule, we wouldn't see a cloud. We see a cloud when a large collection of water molecules come together to form that cloud. So, the cloud of witnesses is a large collection of testimonies from faithful men and women that we can use for motivation. It's the faith of the people that have come before us and the results of their faithfulness that motivates us to not give up. They provide evidence of what it means to live by faith. Sarah, childless until she was in her 90s, shows us how to live by faith. Joseph, left for dead by his own brothers to become the second most powerful man in Egypt, shows us how to live by faith. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, sharing the gospel in Germany during the peak of the Nazi regime, shows us what it looks like to live by faith. None of these people knew what would happen to them, but yet they lived by faith anyway, because they trusted in God and in the promises of God. So this is just one answer to how do we persevere. We follow the examples of those who came before us. Now, what else can we do? We can throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Pastor Dale will cover these two topics in the middle of March. But I just want to say that many times we want to give up because of our burdens, because of our past, because of our sin. Sometimes these things become too much to bear and they keep us from truly living the life that God wants us to live. They hold us back. It isn't until we overcome these things that we can run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Now, before I give another answer to the question, how do we persevere, I want to look at this word, race. The author of Hebrews refers to our lives as a race. And to understand what he really means, we have to look at the original word, like we did earlier. The Greek word used here for race is agon. The word agon means fight, struggle, or opposition. It is the root word. It's the root for the English word agony. So the author is not referring to our life as a light jog around the block. He is referring to our life as a fight, as a struggle that will be filled with agony and opposition. It will not be easy, which is why we have phrases such as don't give up, keep going, everything will be okay. If our lives were easy, we wouldn't need to say these things to each other. Now, I was going to refer to our lives as a marathon, but instead, I would refer to them as a mud run. If you don't know what this is, I will show you a few pictures. This makes a lot more sense as an illustration for our lives. It's a little tougher than a simple run. Back to our question of how do we run our race with perseverance? So far, we have two answers. We use our cloud of witnesses as motivation. Two, we throw off our sin and everything else that hinders us. And three, we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, which says to fix our eyes on Jesus. When we talk about faith, that's whom we have faith in, Jesus. Our faith in Jesus helps us to persevere. Now, that's a very broad statement, and it prompts us to ask our second question, why? Why does faith in Jesus help us persevere? What is it about Jesus that would motivate us to not give up? Well, let's start right here in verse 2. It's because Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, we are going to continue to look at the Greek words to help us understand that statement. The Greek word for pioneer is archegos. This word is used three times in the New Testament. It's defined as author, originator, or founder. It also can mean leader or captain. So in other words, Jesus is the author of our faith. He is the founder of our faith. He is the originator of the cause that we have committed ourselves. Without Jesus and his work on the cross, there is nothing to believe in. There is no New Testament. There is no Apostles' Creed. There is no Easter or Christmas. There is no faith without Jesus. In addition, there is no faith if he doesn't continue to work in our lives today, because he is the leader or captain of our faith. He has to be the one steering the ship, or we will get lost on our journeys. If he weren't actively involved in our lives, it would be very easy to give up. But thankfully, he is the author and leader of our faith. Now, verse 2 also says that he is the perfecter of faith. The Greek word for this is teleotes. Teleotes, which means completer or finisher. So, not only is Jesus the author and leader of our faith, he also completes our faith, which means he brings it to a conclusion. What does that mean? Well, the rest of verse 2 gives us some insight. How did Jesus perfect our faith? By enduring the cross and receiving the reward from God for his endurance. In other words, he finished our faith through his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. He died with the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders. He defeated the shame and humiliation of the cross, and he rose to a place of authority over the universe and over our lives. He is the perfecter of faith. So why does this help us to persevere? Why does this help us to not give up? One reason is that Jesus understands our struggles. Not only is he the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, he also understands our struggles. Now, I don't have time to read every single passage in the four Gospels to give you evidence of this, so I'll just paraphrase a few examples. Jesus understands our temptation towards sin. When he was in the wilderness, Satan tempted him multiple times with some pretty amazing earthly rewards. And Jesus never gave in to those temptations. Jesus understands our grief and loss. One of his best friends, Lazarus, died during his ministry, and he spent time mourning and crying with his sisters over it. Jesus understands the fear of dying because he was constantly confronted with death threats everywhere he went. Jesus understands our sickness and disease. He healed and cured hundreds of sick and disabled people during his ministry. Jesus understands weariness and tiredness. He understands withdrawal and isolation, because many times he withdrew and isolated himself because his ministry got too much to bear. At one point, Jesus literally asked God to take the cup from him, to take his ministry from him before it came to completion. Jesus understands us. He understands our suffering because he suffered like most have never suffered before. When he was beaten, mocked, spit on, hung on a cross naked, with nails in his hands and feet to be humiliated and shamed for all to see. Trust me when I say Jesus understands what you are going through. No matter what it is, Jesus understands it. And he endured because of the joy and the rewards that were set before him by his Father. He knew he would not only return to his Father, but that he would make it possible for us to share in the joy of God's family as well. This is the main reason why we don't give up. This is the main reason why we persevere through this life, because Jesus proved the truth of an eternal reward for us, which we will get to experience one day if we have faith in Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 24 confirms this truth when Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." That is great news. That is why we have faith. That is what motivates us. That is what keeps us going. The promise of eternal life in heaven after we run with perseverance the race that has been marked out for us. Now, before I close, I want to talk about a man who gets a bad rep sometimes. His name is Peter. Peter can be known for his failures, but I think that makes him so relatable. Let's go back to a moment in his life when he was traveling on a boat with his fellow disciples. Jesus was not with them, but he was able to see them from the top of a mountain. The winds began to blow, and the water became very rough to the point where it was getting very dangerous and hard to navigate. And here comes Jesus, casually walking on the water next to their boat to give them comfort. But instead, they were frightened because they thought he was a ghost. Then we read Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 31. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Now my first question is, if getting out of a boat and trying to walk on water makes Jesus say, "You of little faith," what kind of faith do I have? Do I have that kind of faith? To step out into an unknown situation and trust Jesus? I hope my answer is yes. But if I'm being honest, I have doubts. Just like Peter had doubts. And why do I have doubts? Because many times I fail to fix my eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. When Peter decided to step out onto that water, he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. He was overwhelmed by the winds and the waters and the waves. He got scared. I think we can all relate to that. But what did Peter do when he began to sink? He called out to Jesus and said, "Lord, save me." He fixed his eyes on Jesus again, and Jesus pulled him out of the water. Same goes for us. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, our faith grows stronger. Our faith becomes more secure. We become more mature in our faith. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not talking about your financial situation. I am not talking about your health. I am not talking about your life circumstances. Could these things improve if you fix your eyes on Jesus? Yes. Could these things not improve if you fix your eyes on Jesus? Yes. And that's because we are talking about faith. We are not talking about circumstance. If you want to develop a faith that gives you the confidence to keep believing and the courage to keep going, consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, so that you will not give up. Over the next 7 weeks, we want to help you develop that kind of faith. A faith to trust in Jesus no matter what you are going through in life. We want to help you develop a faith that understands that Jesus is truly better than all things. Jesus is truly better than anything you have gone through, are going through, or will go through. So I say, don't give up. Don't give up, because Jesus is truly better than all things.